Welcome to the eighth lesson of the Rooted and Built Up Discipleship Program of Bible Baptist Church. The purpose of this brief study is to acquaint new believers in Jesus Christ with the certain fundamental truths needed to aid in spiritual growth. The subject in this outline is prayer. And by it, we do not make the implication that prayer is the communicating to a higher being, but rather the fellowship between the believer and the Lord God Jehovah. Just think of it. A child of God can have access with the King of all creation and the ruler of all things, will make time to hear our requests, our desires, and even at times our complaints. You may be concerned that you have not a sizable or a suitable faith to move mountains. However, even the weakest of saints cause Satan to tremble when he boldly approaches God's throne in prayer. Let us now turn then to the seventh chapter of Matthew's Gospel. There, beginning with verse 7, we will continue the words of Christ during his famous Sermon on the Mount through verse 11. Christ would speak to his disciples and a great multitude that had assembled together, beginning with verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Shall we pray? Our Father God in heaven, we humbly petition thee for your blessings upon this important subject of prayer. Meet with us then in power, Holy Spirit, for our words are weak at best, and we must have your assistance. May those hearing these words, Father, have a genuine desire cultivated in their hearts for speaking to you more and more in these days. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The verses chosen to commit to memory in this outline come from Paul's writing to the Jewish Christians in the book of Hebrews. These believers suffered under a constant pressure to return into Judaism from which they were saved and into ceremonial practices and the traditions of the Jewish religion. These Jews needed to understand that every believer has equal rights as children of God to approach the Lord in prayer through Jesus, their Savior. Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Being a Christian is much more than a collection of doctrinal beliefs, a few spiritual practices maybe, or just a simple set of doctrinal rules and practices. True Christianity is about having and maintaining a personal relationship with God. Children of God come to know more about their Heavenly Father in two primary ways. First, by reading, studying, and meditating upon God's Word daily. And secondly, by communicating with God every day through prayer. There is, though, a natural tendency to feel a bit awkward in the early stages of establishing the habit of praying to God. But as you consistently let your request be made known unto God, you grow more comfortable in speaking openly and out loud to Him. The psalmist declared in Psalm 55:17, saying, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He," meaning God, "shall hear my voice." Therefore, the only way to know how to pray then is by praying itself. Some have given up on prayer, believing that their former prayers went unanswered simply because their difficulties remained, or possibly due to the fact that God did not answer their request in the exact manner in which they prayed them to be answered. But is it not true that parents know exactly what's best for their children? Do we receive an answer of yes to every request we submitted to our parents? Of course not. If the answer was no, it still was answered. It may have then been only a not right now in the no to the request, and then it might have been no because there was a greater yes to be answered. In this lesson, then, let us discover what the Bible has to teach us regarding the topic of so great importance to the Christian, what is prayer? We begin with the first heading of the true motivation for prayer. What motivates or compels us to pray? Letter A, communication with God builds a closer relationship. That ought to motivate us to pray. When we received Christ as our Savior, God became our Heavenly Father. God is greatly interested in our daily lives, for we are His children. Isaiah 64:8, the prophet said, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand." Does not God, the potter, is He not interested in the clay, you and I as believers? In Matthew 6:9, Jesus spoke, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And then He exhibits a personal relationship that each of us should have with God, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." And then, dropping down in Matthew 6, verse 26, we see, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" You see, Jesus was establishing the relationship that all God's children have with their heavenly Father. Romans 8, verse 14 through 16, the Bible reads, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's a tender relationship as a daddy. The Bible further says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So communication with God builds a closer relationship, and that's what motivates us to pray. The more we talk with a person, the more we discover about that person, and the more we learn about ourselves by becoming closer to that person. The closer we grow to the Lord then through prayer, the more light He casts upon the dark places of our lives. Jesus said in John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In John 12, verse 35, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." So through prayer, we're trying to establish a closer, deeper relationship with our Lord God. That's what prayer motivated by communication. Also, letter B, prayer is also motivated. Conversation with God establishes a deeper faith. So by communicating with God, we build a closer relationship. And by conversing with God, we are established a deeper faith. God has promised to hear and answer our prayers. And all we must do is grab His attention is ask. In our text in Matthew 7:7, it simply reads, "Ask, and it shall be given you." And John tells us in 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him," meaning God, "that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." What a blessed promise is this, that we can grow deeper in our faith by having conversations with God in prayer. Not every time do we receive the answer we hope for, but we always receive an answer from God. The prophet Jeremiah spoke, saying, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not," in Jeremiah 33:3. The psalmist in Psalm 91:15 declares, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Isaiah the prophet recorded in Isaiah 65:24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." If anything increases and establishes a deeper faith with us between our God and just the believer, it's got to be conversating with God, conversing with Him, walking and talking with Him. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, verse number 7, we find, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask. That's what prayer is all about. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The more we openly converse with the Lord, the deeper our faith grows in Him. We find ourselves more and more dependent upon Him as we see God deliver us from evil in response to Christ's model prayer in Matthew 6:13. Paul taught the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 1:10, saying, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Remember that Daniel, that man of God, prayed 3 times a day in Daniel 6:10. When a decree was passed which made praying to any god or man even outlawed for 30 days in Daniel 6:7, Daniel continued to conversate with God just as he had always done. Even under the threat of the den of lions, Daniel's faith grew. And although God did not keep him from the den of lions, God did preserve him in the den of lions in Daniel 6:23. Even when your prayers do not seem to be answered in the way you think best, realize that God is working all things according to His will and just simply trust Him. We are told that, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." In Romans 8:28, that's recorded. But then again in Daniel 6, verse 25 through 27, we read that then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So what a great testimony was the fact that Daniel would not give up on prayer. Daniel's faith grew deeper by having conversations through prayer with God. And that worked together for the good, not of Daniel's good, for who would call it good to spend a night in the den of lions? No one would like that. But it did work together for good, for it served as a tremendous and powerful testimony to Darius the king, who made this decree that we have mentioned just moments before. So we find then there is a true motivation for prayer. But our second main heading is to describe the right manner of prayer. Letter A, how should we pray? Number one under that, establish a quiet time and place. This is a brilliant suggestion. To remove yourself from distraction is what's preferred. Select a time each day then when you can get alone with God with your thoughts and without any distraction. Matthew 14:23, the Bible says of Jesus, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." So even the Son of God decided, "I need to find a quiet time and a quiet place." In Mark 1:35, the writer records, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he," being Jesus, "went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." In the same gospel, chapter 6, verse 46 through 47, the Bible declares, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 15 through 16 read, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." So here's the ministry of Christ. But then the Bible says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." No way that we could make it through a day of ministry without finding that quiet time and that quiet place and praying. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that he," Jesus, "went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Again in Luke's gospel, chapter 9, verse 18, "And it came to pass as he," Jesus, "was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am?" What a tremendous testimony that not only does Christ give us a model of prayer, but also Christ exemplified praying. Luke 22, verse 41 through 42 again. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Interesting enough that Luke's gospel records Jesus and recognizes Jesus as the Son of Man. That phrase is mentioned many times. Here is Jesus. Here's great God in the form of man. And as a man, you find many times, on many occasions, and many that we just read, where Jesus, being man, prayed. We also find in concerning the manner of prayer and how should we pray, we need to find a quiet place and a quiet time. But also, we need to approach the Lord with a humble and pure heart when we pray. Permitting known sin to remain in your life with distance your relationship with God. Psalm 66, 17 through 20, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Sin separates us from the holy God. Even believers who have known sin in their hearts, sin that they have not yet confessed before God. God longs to hear us confess that sin and forsake it, for God knows the very intents of our heart. Isaiah 59, 2, the Bible says, But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 64, 7, And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. So we're trying to establish that fact that we need to approach the Lord God not just in a humble and quiet place, but also with a humble and pure heart. In 1 Peter 5, 6, in the New Testament, humble yourselves, says Peter, therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 10 through 13, we are recorded of wicked King Manasseh, who after had reigned for many years, over 50 years, 55 years in all he would reign. But toward the end, after his wicked reign, God punished him. And the Bible says of him at the latter years of his life, the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. By the way, his father was that great revivalist king, Hezekiah, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. You see, so humbling ourselves, out of a pure heart we speak to God. But not only should we find that quiet place and that quiet time, should we approach the Lord with a humble and pure heart, but also concerning how we should pray is number three. Expect God to hear and answer your requests. Many prayers go unanswered simply because we never expected them to be answered in the first place. The best way to approach the Lord is expectantly. And the best way to remember all of your requests is to write them down one by one on a list. It is wise to keep a prayer journal then, or a list of personal needs and the needs of others which you will ask God in prayer, and to record it possibly in your Bible even. Philippians 4, 6, the Bible reads, Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything that I have need of, I can have that need provided by God. Psalm 20, verse 5, We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. A petition is simply a request, and we make known those requests through prayer. 1 John 5:15, the Bible reads, And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the requests that we desired of him. So understanding, how should we pray? Well, now we need to understand, letter B, what should we say? In the first place, number one, we ought to spend some time in praise to God. God is worthy, the only one worthy of all praise. It is the desire of God that all things which he has created should offer him praise. Psalm 150, verse 6, the very final verse of song in the Psalms reads, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." As Jesus described a model prayer to his disciples, he opened the prayer with adoring God the Father, saying in Luke 11, verse 1 and 2, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." The Lord Jesus was not giving a prayer that could be repeated again and again and again whenever you're in need, as saying these exact words. What Jesus was doing was outlining a program, a method for prayer that we ought to spend time praising God. For it is, after all, His will to be done. It is His heaven, His earth. It is, after all, His kingdom. He is holy and sacred and should be hallowed in His name. Psalm 29:2, the psalmist said, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So, what should we say? Well, let us spend some time in praise to God. Then number two, spend some time in confession to God. As we journey through this life, our feet tend to pick up the dirt or the sin, the filth of this world. And thus, we've got to go to God at times in acknowledgement of that sin and ask forgiveness. The Bible promises in 1 John 1, 8 and 9, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He," Lord God, "is able," or He's faithful and just, "to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Even though we're eternally saved, we still sin in this flesh that holds our soul. When our flesh sins, our Lord is greatly displeased. We must be sorry and repent from that sin and turn from it immediately. Psalm 38:18, the Bible says, "For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin," says the Word of God. So, what should we say? Let's spend some time in praise to God. Let's spend some time in confession to God. Number three, spend some time in thanksgiving to God. Beginning with the fact of our salvation that is forever and eternal, that God has given us so many earthly blessings and that we have the opportunity to serve Him, those ought to be the grandest of subjects for our gratitude to God. Consider of all the people that God has placed in our lives to befriend us, to love us, to train us, as well as the health we often take for granted. Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Has not God done great things for us? Colossians 1, 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, again, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." One may ask, what is God's will for my life? Well, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, His will is for you to be thankful in everything. So praise Him. Confess your sins to Him. Give thanksgiving to Him. But number four, spend some time in supplication to God. Now, what is supplication, you might ask? Supplication may be best defined as a need or a requirement you have. God has promised in Philippians 4:19, saying, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So God has desired to grant your need. In other words, God does not need to grant your desire. He says, I desire to grant your need. Luke 11, verse 3, the Bible says, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is certainly what we have a need for. However, though God knows what we need, He desires us to ask for it anyhow. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, again, found in this great Sermon on the Mount of Jesus Christ, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things, remember supplication, needs, requirements, things ye have need of before ye ask them. See, God always knows. Nothing ever got by God, and God knows what we have need of, and sometimes even before we ask, He grants it to us. Other times He says, you have not because you ask not. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 8, ask again, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So we understand, how shall we pray? How shall we do these things? We need to establish a quiet time. We need to approach the Lord humbly with a pure heart and expectantly, knowing that He hears and answers our prayers. What should we say? Well, let's spend some time in praise. Let's spend some time in confession. Let's spend some time in thanksgiving. Let's spend some time letting those needs or requirements known through supplication to God. But then let her see, when should we pray? This is an interesting question to ask for sure. Number one, Christians should pray daily. David declared that he would pray three times per day. And Daniel followed that same pattern in Psalm 55, 17. Again, we find these words, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Remember Daniel in Daniel 6:13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed. And notice this, what they said as a slander, an accusation against Daniel. They said, but maketh his petitions three times a day. The only thing they could find about Daniel that was a negative thing in their eyes was the fact that he prayed daily, and he did so three times. We should then find the time to pray every day. How interesting it is for Christians who cannot find the time to open their mouths and speak to a holy God who has saved them, who has given them everything in life. When should we pray? Daily. Number two, Christians should pray at mealtime. When we're about to consume that bread that He's given us daily. It was customary for the Jews to ask God's blessing upon the food prior to eating. The head of the household, or a prophet, if he were present, were expected to ask the blessing over the meal. In fact, in 1 Samuel 9:13, the Bible reads, as soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before ye. He go up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he come. Because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get up, for about this time ye shall find him. So the prophet, he's present, and now we can have a blessing over the meal, and then we can eat. In John 6, verse 11, the Bible says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. In John 6, 23, the Bible says, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. There in Luke 24, 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Now this is following his crucifixion and his resurrection. The Bible says he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. So it was customary to pray before mealtime. Following the meal, it was also customary to offer a second prayer of thanksgiving for the food that was eaten. In Deuteronomy 8:10, Moses recorded, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. So when should Christians pray? They should pray daily. When should they pray? They should pray at mealtime. That would mean that if I'm in public at a restaurant, if I'm at the workplace at lunchtime, if I'm with my family, if I'm at the church house, I am to pray at mealtime. But thirdly, Christians should pray always. A believer must never give up on prayer, but continue in prayer. You say, well, preacher, how can we pray always? I understand taking time out three times a day to pray, but do you understand you can walk and talk with the Lord wherever you are and whenever you are? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Never stop, never give up on prayer. Sometimes when the need is so great and our hearts are so burdened by it, we must let go of the physical to grab hold of the spiritual. This is adding what's called fasting with our praying. Matthew 17, 21, the Bible says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Prayer is grabbing hold of the spiritual. Fasting is letting go of the physical. Things that are not wrong to do, such as watching a good television program or listening to good godly music or doing something fun with the children or something that maybe a certain food, a coffee or some type of a sweet, saying, "Lord, I want to get your attention and I want to pray for this matter and I'm going to get your attention by letting go of this thing that's not wrong to do, but I enjoy doing it and I'm going to grab hold for some man, it might be hunting or fishing." And he says, "I want to let go of that sport or that activity until I've got your attention in prayer." We ought to pray always. Mark 9, 29, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Some serious requests need to have fasting added with prayer. Christians ought to pray daily at mealtime and always. But then let's look then finally at the third heading. As we have gone through the true motivation for prayer, the right manner of prayer, and now let us look quickly at the subtle menace to prayer. Letter A, unconfessed sin is an obstacle that keeps a believer from prayer. Nothing will keep a believer out of his prayer closet quite as much as sin that he's allowed to reign in his body. When we sin as believers, the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts, convincing us of the sin. But sometimes we feel so ashamed of our sins and so embarrassed are we that we fail to approach God to ask His forgiveness. And we may ask God, "Forgive us of all our sins," but not name the sin. Our prayer life is hindered by our sins, which we do not seek forgiveness from God for. Proverbs 28:9, Micah 3:4, and Zechariah 7, verse 12 through 13, all declare that we must find forgiveness from those sins, confessing them before God. Just as Adam and Eve hid themselves in the Garden of Eden among the trees, so we too can become distanced from our Lord by our sins. So the menace to prayer, what will prevent you from praying? Unconfessed sin is an obstacle. But also, letter B, selfish desire is an obstacle that can harm a believer's prayer life. When we become consumed with self, and what we want rather than what God wants us to have, we grow discontent. Always wanting more than what God has provided us causes us to gripe and murmur, complain, just as the children of Israel did in the wilderness, where the Bible says in Exodus 16, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." God was willing to provide for Israel, but Israel was complaining because they were discontent with what God had provided thus far. Numbers 21, verse 4 through 5, the Bible says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses." Can you imagine speaking against God who's delivered you and the man of God who's helped you, saying, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." It's oftentimes when we grow discontent, we want the former life, the life we used to live, forgetting how miserable we were. We become very bitter people when we grow self-centered, and our prayers go unanswered due to their being motivated by the selfish flesh. James 4, verses 1 through 4, the Bible teaches us, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we find unconfessed sin, but also selfish desire are both menaces to prayer. But the last one we give you in our outline is letter C. Poor scheduling can obstruct us from having an effective prayer life. Some people claim that they cannot find the time to pray because they're just too busy. It may very well be that they would find more time to accomplish their daily tasks if they began their day with prayer. It is God that gives us the strength to face the challenges of daily life. But if our relationship is not what it should be with Him, it could be He's trying to get our attention. Things are not accomplished. Trials and correction comes to us all for not keeping what God would have us to keep and talking to Him. And so problems come our way, driving us to God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So as we conclude with this outline on prayer, the Bible is filled with many verses concerning prayer and the promise of answered prayer. Maybe each of us should choose one or even two verses of Scripture and attach them to our prayer lists. Many Christians have adopted one verse that stands out as a testimony of their life or a goal for their life. If you've not chosen a life's verse, consider doing so as soon as possible. Look for verses that mean a great deal to your heart and adopt them for your own. Then, in times of despair, claim those verses of prayer to God. What is your prayer life like at this very moment in your Christian walk? Wouldn't you appreciate the relationship with God that is as close as it was with Enoch, who walked with God, and the Bible says he was not, for God took him? Then begin talking to the Lord as friend with friend, and remember, prayers without faith is like a gun firing blanks into the sky. It'll make a loud noise, but nothing gets launched to heaven. Now, dear Lord, what a privilege for your children to be able to come to their Heavenly Father, simple as we are, and know that you will hear and answer us. What a joy to realize that you enjoy spending time with us as much as we enjoy spending time with you. Bless us now as we grow in this vital area of our Christian lives, and it is in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.